I would like to talk to you about issues. I'd like to for you to put yourself in these people's skin for a little while. And I don't know if I'll get to all of them, but there is a common thread that they all have, and yet each one of their issues were different. In chapter 8 of Luke, the Lord is on His way to Jairus' house, who had a daughter that was sick, a 12-year-old, and she was dying. And while he was on his way there, people thronged him. You know what thronged means? Thronged means it was really, really crowded, and they just flocked to him. They just surrounded him. They pressed on him. It was really crowded in where Jesus was. Almost like the people were walking out of a professional football game or something with all that crowd were there. And you ever been in those kind of crowds and like it's just elbow to elbow and is really tight. So these people thronged Jesus. And that in 43, it says, and a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years. Now, let me just read it. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched or dried up. What stanched means. This woman, according to the law, after 3 days, would have been declared unclean, or that they would have put a label on her as, you've got a problem. And this issue of blood is something called, what we would call today, dysentery. The Bible calls it in other places a bloody flux. So you all know what dysentery is, and she had bloody dysentery. Which, of course, we all know that carries a lot of bacteria, and it's a nasty case, to say the least. This woman who had this issue of blood had spent everything she had trying to find some relief. And so she went to this doctor and he tried his treatment on her and it didn't work. Then she went to another doctor and he tried something different and it didn't work. And each successive doctor that she went to, she told them, I'm sure, I've tried this and this and this and this and none of them worked. And she did this for 12 years. And then she came to Jesus. In amongst all these people, this throng, this crowd that's around Jesus, and I believe by inference or by deductive reasoning, it just makes sense that this woman crawled up to him on the ground. She didn't touch him on the nape of the neck, you see. She didn't grab his garment up here. She was on the ground and touched him by the hem of his garment. And she snuck up behind Jesus. She didn't boldly come into his front of his face and do all of that. This was a broken woman who had exhausted all other treatments, all other helps. She had gone through them and nothing helped. So she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. That's the very edge of it. Now, the men back then wore what we would consider a tunic or a, not a dress really, but it was just a long garment that they pulled up, like an old night shirt or something that went all the way down to here. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all of the people around Jesus denied it, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. They're crowding up against you. It's thick in here. How sayest thou, who touched me?" Many people were touching Jesus, weren't they? Many people were crowded around him. That many people were touching him. And Peter and all of them looked at him and said, "What do you mean, who touched you?" And Jesus says, "Somebody touched me. For I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now I want us to see and put ourselves in this woman's shoes, in her issue. Now, I tell you what, I've had salmonella, and it's not fun. It really kind of disables you from doing a lot of things. And I had it for about a week or so. This lady has had it, something like that, for 12 years. And there's so much in this that the attitude of this lady, how she had went to all of these physicians who normally should have been able to cure her of this disease. But they couldn't. And she sought the disease so much, sought the cure for the disease so long. She was going to them, and they were not the ones really that were able to heal her. She was going to the wrong place to be healed. Do y'all know? This may come as a shock to some of you, but God put this on this woman. I believe, I know by scriptures, some people have ailments that are put upon them for one purpose, and they will not be healed of it until they go to the person that has the ability to heal them and for the purpose. The purpose why this lady had this problem and the reason why the doctors couldn't heal it was really because it was sent by God for His glory. Why did Jesus wait and not raise up Lazarus? Why did Jesus wait until he had been dead 3 days? He waited because it was for the glory of God. This is why this woman had this issue of blood for this moment in time, for this glorification of God. And she says that she came, the Bible says she came and she touched the hem of His garment because none of them could fix her ailment because it really wasn't a medical issue. Oh, it had a medical thing. But really this was to bring about something in her life by reason of what Jesus called it. When the woman saw that she was not hid, you know, you can crawl up to Jesus and He can heal you. And it's going to be evident to you who did it. Right? All the doctors couldn't heal you. But when you come to the place where the Lord asks you a question and says, "Who touched me?" And great power has been demonstrated by God in your life and you cannot be hid, you're going to come to the place that this woman did. I pray that you do. She fell down on her knees at His feet. And she declared unto Him, before all the people, for what cause she had touched Him. She told them her medical history. She told Jesus, "Lord, I've tried this and I've tried this and I've tried this, and nothing has helped me, but You have helped me, and You're the only one that could do it, and I've had this for 12 years." And she did that before all the people. Now it's great when we in our closet are able to pour out our heart to God. It's great. That's wonderful. We're told to do that. But do you know what glorifies God more? Is when you declare it among all the people. Now listen to what Jesus tells her. See, she had already been healed, right? She was already clean, healed of her problem. Her issue of blood dried up just like that. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. You know, in Mark, it talks about this as well, and it says, be healed of thy plague. See, I know I preached about this fairly recently, but there's more stuff about this. Go in peace means to go quietly. Be still. You know, we sing that song, be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. This lady had been very uneasy for a lot of years, and he tells her, go in peace. Be healed of thy plague. You know what that, I looked up that word plague. You know what it means? It means a scourge. It means something sent by God to bring about repentance. Now, we don't like to think that God does that, but He does. I don't say that He does it every time. Every little ailment you got, I don't know. But there are times that God sends scourges in the form of medical issues in our lives to bring about His glory. That's the whole purpose here. It's not to cause her suffering. It's not to cause her a lot of pain. It's for His glory. And this woman came to Him. He says, go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, she had already been healed. And I want to bring this point up again. We already talked about it once, but she was already healed now. But the Lord said that her faith made her whole. That means that when she exercised her faith, she was not only physically healed, but she was spiritually complete. When she come to Jesus that way and glorified Him that way, then not only was she physically healed, but she was whole, complete. Sometimes we're looking for healing in the wrong places. That's one of the points of this. Sometimes it may be a spiritual problem that has medical symptoms. You understand? I just want to say this. I work in schools. And did you know that I work with and around and have for about 10 or 12 years? That's when I started seeing it really happen. Teachers being placed on mood elevators because they were so distraught about the way the culture's going and how the kids are acting in class. And it just bothers them so bad. But you know what? Because they get depressed or whatever. And I want us to realize that that medicine is not really helping the problem. And I think a lot of people are searching for something in this life, in this world, in this town, and maybe in this congregation, are searching for something that they cannot find, and they look into medicine to fix it. And medicine will not fix the problem. The problem can only be fixed. They're trying to fill a void with air. You can't fill a void with air. All that medicine does is mask the symptoms. It doesn't fix the problem. If you really want to know what I think about it, I think that their problem is spiritual. And they're depressed for some other reason, or the hole that they're trying to fill, they're trying to fill it with things or whatever. And that hole, it's a God-sized hole that they're trying to fill with stuff. And if you're trying to fill a God-sized hole, you need God to be put in there for it to be whole. Do y'all understand? Am I making that clear? If I dug a hole, and the best thing to put back in it is what was taken out. And if you're searching for something and nothing seems to fit, nothing seems to fill it, then you need to put back in there what was taken out. And if it's a God-sized hole, then we need God put back in the hole. I think a lot of those things, a lot of those teachers, or not just teachers, but I work around them all the time, but it's a lot of people in this world. You watch TV. What are all the commercials about? Most of them. They're about medicines to fix our problems, our depression. They're about issues that we have that we're tired all the time, or we're whatever it is. They come up with all kind of symptoms, all kind of medicine for symptoms. And I tell y'all, by and large, one of the reasons, I'm not saying people don't have medical conditions, don't give me that, but don't give me that way, but I tell you that a lot of people, they get a little down, but they're looking for something. They're trying to fill a hole that can't be filled with medicine. It can only be filled by spirit, because it's a spirit hole. They've got lacking of spiritualness, of godliness, holiness in their lives, and they're trying to fill it with that kind of stuff. Now, I didn't have a great mind to say that, but y'all think about that. I know you know people like that. I know you do. I bet you could count on your hands and fingers and say, yep, she's like that, she's like that, searching for something, can't never find, she's always down to us, and you know, blah, 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 blah. Y'all know it. Y'all know people just like that. Now, Luke 17. Why did I tell y'all that? Because I don't want y'all to get that way. That's why I told you that. If you start feeling down and depressed, maybe it's a spiritual hole that we need to fill. Luke 17, chapter 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They stood far off. Why did they stand far off? Because they weren't allowed to come in contact with people that weren't leprous. Y'all know what leprosy is? It's a disease, a horrid disease of the skin that gets progressive. I mean, it gets worse and worse. And this disease is a scaly problem where the sores on your skin begin to overtake you, and they weep and they seep, and it's just discolors your skin. I mean, it's nasty. And all in the scriptures, leprosy is a disease that's used to describe sin. Now these men were lepers, and they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices. They called from afar off. Loudly, I imagine. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, these 10 lepers, I imagine, there's all kind of laws, right, for the cleansing of lepers in the Old Testament. The law of God, he said you got to go show yourself to the priest, and the priest is one that's got to declare you clean, right? And then when you're clean, you also got to bring, two turtle doves for an offering to the priest. Now, these 10 men, apparently they were Jewish because that was part of keeping a law, keeping it. You got to check all the boxes, you got to do all the stuff, and Jesus tells them, you go and do what's supposed to be done after you're healed of leprosy. And so they went. And as they went, they were cleansed. Do y'all see these details matter, y'all? They weren't cleansed as soon as the Lord said, go show yourself to the priest. They had to turn around and they had to start walking. They had to start go on their way and do what he said. And as they went, they were cleansed. Right? What happened after that? Do y'all know what happened? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. This is a key. And he was a Samaritan. That puts a different spin on it, don't it? It does to me. And I'm going to help you see the spin, if you don't already. Samaritans were a mixed breed. They were not all Jewish, they were half Jewish and half Samaritan. Gentile, right? They were half and half. That's just fact. This man, you remember the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan too. And do you know what the Jews called them? The Jews called Samaritans dogs. This man did not go and show himself to the priest. He might have not even known about that. The Lord said, you worship, you know not what, to the Samaritan woman at the well, right? You don't know what you worship. This man, I don't think that he even knew where the priest was. He was a Samaritan. He turned back and with a loud voice, y'all get this. You know, words mean something. With a loud voice. You know what loud means in the Greek? It comes, that's where we get our word mega. It means intensified or intensity. Okay? Degree of intensity. A great degree of intensity. You know what voice is? Phonos. That's what, you know, having to, you know, we talk about a phonological assessment or something like that. It's having to do with the hearing and voices and stuff like that. You put those two words together, what do you get? Megaphone. Megaphone. You know those things that the teachers or principals hold up when they're addressing a big crowd? And it gets really, really loud? This man praised God with a megaphone of his voice. He expressed himself with every bit of air that he had and worshiped God and fell at his feet. I love that. That man was not afraid what people thought about what he said. And I tell you what, if you've been healed that way, you wouldn't be afraid to say it either with a megaphone. A megaphone. Now, he says he with a loud voice worshiped and praised God and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Y'all know math is big to God. 10 minus 1 equals what? 9. There was only one man out of those 10 that returned back to give God the glory and to thank Him. Only one out of 10. That's 10%. 90% went on their way and they were cleansed too. Those 9 were cleansed too. Remember? Now what does that mean for us today? How are we going to apply that in our lives? Has the Lord ever healed you? Has He ever cleansed you of your leprosy or sin? Has He ever done something miraculous for you that was a great torment to you in your life? And has He ever healed you? And let's look at the difference between these two responses. What did the 9 do? They went their way. They went to the priest. They checked the boxes. I've got that done, that done, that done. I'm going to check the priest. He declares me clean. I'm going to bring him some turtle doves. And I'm going to go on about my business. And check my boxes. Do what is required of me by the law. No glorification to God at all. Oh, but that one. But that one. He turned and with a megaphone glorified God. Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Were the others made whole? Physically? Yes, they were. What happened to this man? He was whole spiritually too. He fixed his God-sized hole. He filled it up. He filled it up with glory to God. He gave thanks to God for cleansing him. The 9 were made physically whole, but their faith did not make them spiritually whole. They went back and just went on about their business, checking the marks and going through the motions of what they were taught to do. And they just went on and went on. But this man, his faith made him whole. Jesus declared him clean. He didn't have to go to the priest, did he? You don't either. You don't have to go to the priest. The only thing that is required for us, and if you want to be really made whole, exercise that faith in glorifying God if you really want to be made whole. Boy. Turn over to Luke 18, just a page or two, to verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. I could just see this man. He's blind and he hears this great multitude passing by and said, "What's going on? Tell me what's going on." And they tell him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He's in our midst. He's passing by, and the blind man cried, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." You know, they were telling him to be quiet. You just stop it. You're troubling the master. You're an irritation. Just be quiet. Hold your peace. That just fueled his fire. And he said, "No, I'm not going to hold my peace. The very fountain of mercy is in front of me, and I'm going to call on his name." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." You know, I've been in services before where people get a little happy. Maybe kids get a little, maybe where they sing a little too loud, according to their parents, and just sing. You ever seen a parent just put their hand on them and sing? That's what they were doing to this blind man. Just be quiet. Don't trouble him. You're irritating people. He don't have time for you. Oh, the Lord always has time for one that cries out to Him. He's always got time. You're never an irritation to God. Though other people might see you as being a little strange, is it going to bother you bad enough to keep quiet? Or are you going to be safe? Or are you going to say, "But he cried the more, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy upon me." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. That man had to be blind for a long time before he met Jesus. But after he met him, you see what happened? You see how all the people, you see our lives, the whole purpose is to glorify God. That's it, in a nutshell. Our whole lives' purpose is to glorify God in everything. And you know, it's hard to glorify God so that people can see you. It's hard for people to see you glorify God if you keep your mouth shut. Did you know that? That's the whole purpose of the gospel, isn't it? It's to glorify God. It's to testify of what Jesus Christ did. That's what the gospel is. It's good news. And then it goes on in and it talks about Zacchaeus. You know, there's a song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. I can't remember the rest of it. For Jesus he wanted to see, that's it. He was a wee little man. Small stature. He saw the multitude coming to him. He wanted to see what all the fuss was about. So he climbed up into a tree. Jesus looked up at him. Said, come down from there, Zacchaeus. I'm going to dwell at your house today. I'm going to abide there. And Zacchaeus was a rich man. But he was a despised man. You know why he was despised? Because he was a tax collector. Tax collectors didn't have a good reputation then. And they still don't. You know why they didn't have a good reputation then? Because they were Jews. But they worked for the Roman government. And they taxed their own people on behalf of the Romans. And some of them weren't very good. Most of them weren't very good. Corruption has always been. They would take money on the side and pocket it. And you know, Zacchaeus was a rich man, it says. But Zacchaeus was an honorable rich man. He said, if I've wronged any, he said, I restore unto him fourfold. That means four times. That means if he wronged somebody a quarter, then he gave him a dollar back. Or maybe a dollar and a quarter back. What do all these people have in common? Their cases are way different. But what do they all have in common? They all had issues. Different. Way different issues. But they all wanted to see the Lord. And they all had to go through. They had to fight to see Him. The lepers couldn't come near Him. They had to call from afar off. They all had to fight to see the Lord. Zacchaeus couldn't get through. He couldn't see. He had to climb up. The woman with the issue of blood had to crawl through him on her hands and knees. They all told the blind man, shut up. Quit saying something. He would do it. Now I'm going to ask you, what are you willing to do to see the Lord? I ask myself that all the time. What am I willing to do to really seek the Lord? In every case, they glorified God with their voices. The scriptures are full of this same situation. People going through hard times. One of his friends let him down, tore up the roof and let him down on his bed. Great, great faith for the purpose of glorifying God. Not to showcase our faith, but to glorify Him. Think about what you're willing to do to see Jesus. The doors of the church are open for those who have seen Him and want to glorify and praise Him together with us. The Lord bless you is my prayer.